Diary, March 1895, Granville, Australia. March 2nd to 31st, 1895. Granville, New South Wales. Was not well and did not attend meeting. An urgent request was made by Brother McCullough that I should speak at the waterside at Ashfield. Several were to be baptized. The two former baptisms in Ashfield were in the baptistry of the Baptist Church. They kindly permitted us to use their baptistry. The first baptism was while the camp meeting was in session. 16 precious souls received the ordinance. 3 weeks ago, they granted the same favor, and 17 were buried with Christ in baptism. At that time, the minister said our people should have the use of the baptistry anytime they wanted it. We felt this was very kind in them, and we were grateful for their friendly courtesy. As souls were deciding to embrace the truth and keep the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, there was a necessity to prefer the request for the use of their church conveniences again, but we were decidedly refused. They said some of the members of their church were becoming Seventh-day Adventists and were among the number who were to be baptized, and this was a grievous matter to them, and they could not grant us this favor ever again. Then there was searching for water suitable for baptism. The search was rewarded. A small lake was found in a paddock, and permission was given by the gentleman owning it. Sunday, March 3rd, 200 people gathered about the lake. I spoke about 40 minutes. My text was Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. The Lord strengthened me to lift up Jesus, the one in whom our hope of eternal life is centered. May the Lord bless the seed sown. Brother McCullough then buried with Christ in baptism 20 willing souls. The ordinance was free from all excitement and was a very beautiful sight. There was generally respectful behavior. A few young women and men clustered together and manifested no respect for the ordinance or for themselves, talking and laughing and dishonoring their God. The occasion was in every way solemn. Everything was done decently and in order. This scene was the means of deciding several to take their stand then and there. Only 12 were to be baptized, but 20 received the ordinance. We felt indeed that all things work together for good to them that love God. Those who refused to accept the light of truth, who refused their church, did us a great favor. The impression made upon the minds of souls in the Valley of Decision was to cause them to make up their minds that they must confess Christ and take the steps God has laid down, which are repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and baptism. I have ever felt pained to see a baptismal audience assemble around a box in a church to witness the baptism of souls. Pure running water should ever be secured if possible. Granville, New South Wales. I was not able to sleep after 2 a.m. My heart was drawn out in earnest, silent petition for the Lord to strengthen me physically and relieve me of physical infirmities. I believe the Lord has heard my prayer. Byron Belden, May Lacey, and I rode to Ashfield. Byron Belden had been solicited to review the Sabbath school, which he did. I spoke 1 hour from Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. I had the evidence that the Lord did strengthen me and give me a message for the people. 100 were present, and the softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God was in our midst. We then had a testimony meeting, and those newly come to the truth bore excellent testimonies. There were several keeping their first Sabbath. One young man, a Swede, will lose his situation. He has been receiving 17 shillings per week as a professional gardener, but the wife of his employer is a strong Catholic and declares she will not have a Seventh-day Adventist on her premises. A blacksmith has closed his shop and put out his sign, "No work done from Friday sundown until Saturday after sundown." He bore testimony. He said he was roused up in the early morning to shoe a horse. He told the man that Saturday was the Bible Sabbath, and he no longer could disregard it. The man urged the shoeing of his horse, but he told him if he should give him 100 pounds, he could not shoe his horse. In 1 week from today, Sunday the 16th, 10 or 12 more will be baptized. Praise the Lord. March 16, 1895. Granville, New South Wales. Spoke in Ashfield. The hall was filled, and the Lord gave much freedom in speaking from Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. The meeting was most interesting, from the commencement to the close. There was intense interest manifested by the hearers. The social meeting was excellent.
New converts are added to the church continually, and we praise God for this. The most intense opposition is manifest by the clergymen. But Christ had the same to contend with in his day, and we have encouragement that no new thing has happened unto us. But as the prophets and apostles were treated, so will they treat those who believe the truth in all ages. The churches are not converting the world, but the world is converting the church in spirit, in maxims, and doctrines of men. Granville, New South Wales. About 200 people gathered around the beautiful lake, and Brother McCullough administered the ordinance of baptism to 13 souls. I spoke in the tent at Petersham. There was a good audience and the most profound attention. After speaking, rode back in our own conveyance 13 miles to Granville. My subject was the solemn scenes of the suffering and crucifixion of the Son of God. March 23, 1895. Spoke to the church in Parramatta in reference to true godliness, a preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ, and the duties of parents to their children. The Lord gave me much of His Holy Spirit, and the congregation felt the power of the Word. Many testimonies were born in confession. March 30, 1895. Brother Belden, his wife, May Lacey, and I went to Ashfield. We had a good congregation assembled. Brother Belden reviewed the Sabbath school. I spoke at 11 o'clock from John 14, first portion of the chapter. Then there was a testimony meeting. Excellent testimonies borne by those newly come to the faith. It was considered essential to have a tent purchased to advance the work in different localities in the suburbs of Sydney. Pledges were taken, and £20 were subscribed in that meeting alone. In Petersham, in the afternoon, £21 were subscribed. This is enough now to purchase the tent and erect it as soon as possible after it is made. The opposition is very great now. Dr. Porter, a great bombast, is now representing Goliath of old. He has spoken twice and deals in ridicule, in assertions, dealing out falsehood and misrepresentations, and all the while taking on the appearance of a godly man. Picton, who challenged Elder Corliss for discussion, is acting like a man infuriated by the demon spirit. He is preaching in the streets, and a noisy rabble congregates, and there is certainly the carrying of things with a high, boasting spirit. March 31, 1895. Brother Caldwell, Maggie Hare, Edith Ward, May Lacey, and I rode to Petersham to see Brother McCullough before attending my appointment in Ashfield. He was just turning the first corner with his carriage, and we rode after him but could not overtake him. Then we went to Ashfield and succeeded in obtaining the key and waited more than 1 hour for the meeting time. I was strongly tempted to think I would not come 11 miles to Ashfield and 13 to Petersham again for an evening meeting, and then ride back after speaking 1 hour. But while thus troubled in mind, a great peace came to my heart, and I seemed to hear the voice of Christ saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." John 14, verse 27.